Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 my friends. I want to welcome all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Jackie Laura Jones, here with you again for True Forgiveness Teachings on this July 7th, 2020. Wow. Hard to believe, half the year is gone. We're here with our good friend, Bruce Sprawls. Welcome, Bruce. Oh, might have lost Bruce here. I'm not sure if he can hear me. Bruce, if you can hear me, we might have lost you here. So maybe he can call back, but my friends, I wanted to go over today something. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails about the state of the world. And as course students and anyone joining us for the first time, I want to welcome you. This is a podcast about the course, about the thought system, A Course in Miracles. And so I get a lot of emails about it's so chaotic in the world, right? And the course is teaching that the world is an illusion. The world's in our mind. It's a projection of the mind that's seemingly separated from God. And so it's teaching that the only reality is our oneness in heaven as God's one Son, as Christ, which is no different than God. We're all in this oneness together. So the Course is teaching that we seemed to separate. The Course says, into eternity, where all was one, there crept a tiny mad idea where the Son of God remembered not to laugh. So in this tiny mad idea, this split from the mind, we somehow thought we could be separate from perfect oneness, right? Now, this is just a belief that we chose to believe. And this is what the Course calls the ego, right? The split. Hey, Bruce, is this you?
I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Oh, good. Okay, I have no idea. I could still hear you, but you couldn't hear me yet. So who knows? Forgiveness opportunity, right?
Yeah, you broke in at just the right time. I was in the deep metaphysics about the Course, about the world being an illusion. So what do we do here, you know? So I was just giving a little overview, as I do often on this podcast, because it goes out globally. We often have new listeners, and some of them may not be familiar with the Course. So you know how I insert kind of, you know, every once in a while, just the basic premise of why the Course says that the world is an illusion. So I was just getting to a brief description, getting to the part where we believed we could be separate, this right, separate identity. And so the Course equates the world to a dream. It's a dream. The Course is saying you are perfectly at home dreaming of exile. So we're perfectly safe at home dreaming of exile. And it leads me to this quote that I know you and I both love when we were emailing. It's a section from the text, chapter 21 in the introduction, and it says, projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it's important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Notice how Jesus says perceive. Bruce, there's so much to pull apart in this. Help us out with it.
Oh, for sure. Well, you know, it's the whole cause and effect paradigm, isn't it? I mean,
right.
The idea that we have backwards so often when we're in an ego thinking mode, when we're in the thought system of thinking that separation happened, which is, according to A Course in Miracles, impossible, but we've seemingly pulled off the impossible. And,
right.
And because our minds are so powerful, we've convinced ourselves that it actually happened, even though in eternity it couldn't have. But that's not where we usually hang out. So the Course meets us where we think we're at. And where we think we're at is where the world is happening to us instead of from us. And so we think things are coming at us from outside. And yet those are merely reflections of decisions we've made in our mind to make up a dream scenario in which we seem to be at the mercy of things that are outside of us instead of being able to be merciful to the world that has never left its source in the mind. there's a lot in that first paragraph there, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh boy, there sure is. And you know, it helps me as I practice the Course to remember what Jesus means when he's saying that the world is nothing more than the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of the inward condition. Well, mm-hmm. The inward condition is our own sin, guilt, fear, and attack thoughts. It's the world is a pictorial representation of those thoughts. So it's hard to understand this when we are having the experience that we're a body, right? But the
mm-hmm.
Course is teaching us that the body is also a part of the projection. And when we choose the idea, the belief of separation in the mind over wholeness, when we choose that belief, we become the body. It's part of the same thought system. And so the Course is saying that we can eventually, through choosing our different inner kindness teacher, as you like to say, Bruce, through choosing the Holy Spirit or Jesus, we can recall this projection of a world. We can move out of the mind that is the belief in sin, guilt, attack, separation, leading to pain, suffering, anxiety, depression, all the things that we're seemingly experiencing as bodies. If the more we start to choose to remember, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit is the memory I took with me into the dream. It's the right mind. It's the other part of the mind, the other thought system that says you didn't separate. And the more we choose that, the easier it becomes to remember and have the recognition, ah, there's nothing outside of me. Like you just said, Bruce, the world is being done by me, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very convincing holographic dream that
yes.
has, you know, incredible production value, you know, better than any movie studio or collection of movie studios around the world could put together. And the photorealistic quality is impeccable. But it's a dream. It's a movie. It's a projection. It's a hologram. It's a facade, and it's a hoax. And all those things really reflect the fact that when we examine what doesn't change in our mind and then compare it to what does, it's what does change is woefully inadequate. And we realize that our bodies, our personalities, all that stuff changes. And so that's really the essential aspects of the illusory nature of the world. It doesn't mean that the essence of what we are is an illusion, and the shared identity that we really all have and are, that's not the illusion. That's behind the facade. That's the real character behind the mask, if you will. But there's really it's not a single individual character. It's a single essence, a single character with a capital C, that is the sum total of all creation, and that's our real identity. But that's not where we usually hang out in. So we need the forgiveness classroom of everyday situations and events to get us back to the mind. And that's, I think, why Ken Wapnick, a brilliant Course teacher, said that you know, he was leveraging Sigmund Freud's brilliant work on the mind and seeing, you know, who said that, you know, dreams are the royal road to the unconscious mind, and that's where the unconscious guilt lies, and the whole thought system of sin, guilt, and fear that, of course, Merkel talks about. If we can just kind of look at the stuff that comes up in front of our face on any given day, as your brother-in-law Gary likes to say, I like that phrase
that's
a lot.
Right.
It's just
too.
Like, well, just notice the stuff that seems to assault us, and it's like, oh, if I'm annoyed or irritated or the least bit upset with anything that seems to be outside of me, I've completely forgotten that to consider at least the idea that maybe I set that up. The upset is a result of the setup, and we need that little inner Toto, a la Wizard of Oz, in our mind to pull, keep pulling that curtain back, huh? And see the bigger picture. Yeah, another metaphor that's this another mutual course teacher, student, friend, Lynn Johnson, who I talk with on Saturday mornings. We've been reading Ken Wapnick's brilliant The Journey Home, The Obstacles to Peace, and, of course, Miracles, which is about chapter 19 in the text of A Course in Miracles. And she came up with an analogy the other day that I really like. So I'm tip of the hat to Lynn. And that is, it's like the ego is sort of like walking into a darkened room with a laser pointer. And you might get a little hint of what's in the room here and there, but you're certainly not going to get a very complete picture. And because it's monochromatic light, because it kind of bounces off in random ways, and you know, the light's somewhat distorted compared to our normal vision, it basically gives us a very incomplete and inaccurate picture of what's there until someone throws on the light switch. Or even if somebody walks in with a flashlight, we're going to get a little bit bigger and better perspective, and we'll have a little more context to make sense of things. But the ego mind is just kind of like this little laser pointer, and usually it's mounted on a gun sight as a gun, as an aid to attack, right? You know, kind of like those more contemporary movies where the, you know, the spy movies where there's an infrared laser dot on somebody's chest. It's like, okay, that guy's dead or about to be, you know. But that's how the ego works, is it basically fixes a specific thing in its sights, focuses all of its attention on that to the exclusion of everything else, just like a laser dot in a dark room, and says, this is my target. I'm going after this annoyance or this enemy. And because of the special love, special hate focus of specifics of the ego, that's kind of all it knows how to do. It really doesn't know how to be kind or loving or inclusive or accepting, because everything in the ego's world on some level, consciously or unconsciously, whether recognized or not, is a threat or an enemy. And I think that's why the brilliance of the opening lines of the introduction of A Course in Miracles are nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So, but the threat is really anything that seems to be apart from us. And whether or not we admit it or not as egos, everything that we identify as is not myself, my little s self, is my enemy. And every ego, if it was honest, which it never is, would have to admit that that's true, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, well said. I love that. It's like a pointer. The ego is like a pointer, and that is great, a laser pointer. So true.
It's total fixation, isn't it?
For that. Yeah. It's total fixation. And we have a very myopic view.
Oh,
like you were saying, as you pull back the curtain, well, sometimes we're starting to awaken a little, so the little laser pointer is a flashlight. There's a little more light in there. But then, you know, as we keep walking it back, it's a great way to say it. I mean, I am just amazed at how I wake up and I'm doing the lessons again. So I'm nowhere near the one a day. I'm probably like, I don't know, 55 behind or something.
Oh, okay.
Meaning I just do them at my own pace, because I like focusing on on some of them, maybe for 4 days or something like that. Or if I forget to do it, it's, you know, I do them very lightly and non-judgmentally, you know. But anyway, I am doing the lessons. And so as I read the lesson in the morning, I remember, you know what? Okay, God's will for me is perfect happiness. Well, how is that possible? And immediately, I think as bodies, I used to do this in 1999, way back when I started the course, I think, okay, God's will for me is perfect happiness, and everything today is going to work out in the world for me. If I'm just like positive, he wants me to have everything that I want, or at least, you know, he wants me to have everything's kind of related to the goals that you want in the world. And as I've been doing the course for, I don't even know, over 20 years now, I recognize, gosh, God's will for me is perfect happiness. And how do we achieve that? And it's by going within. And I wrote this as a description of this episode because I think if people are having a difficulty with levels here, and this illusion of this pandemic and everything that's going on seems to be much bigger than something else that some of these folks would be worried about. So I wrote in the intro, the world is certainly chaotic at the moment. There's much divisiveness. How do we heal? Course in Miracles teaches that we go within. Well, how do we do this? Well, I have learned, and I wanted to share this, over many years of practicing the course, what becomes automatic for me now is how do we go within? We look outside because we're looking at the things going on in our life, but with a totally different perception, the Holy Spirit, looking with Christ's vision, we're interpreting what the bodies are reporting, our eyes are reporting back to us differently. So I'm bringing this full circle to kind of, I woke up this morning, and when I start with, okay, God's will for me is perfect happiness, how do I achieve that? By knowing that anything that's going to upset me is my forgiveness classroom. So what happens? Today, my awesome husband Mark and I had a miscommunication about lunch and about what was going on. Now, before I'm with you here live, Bruce, out to everybody, I recorded a podcast. I've had several people that have emailed me that they have new course books out or something's going on, they want to be a guest on the podcast. So I recorded one earlier, right before this one. Well, there was no time for lunch in between that one and this one. And so Mark was thinking we were going to have lunch. He went to Ralph's. He got all this stuff to make it easier for me to make lunch. And here I'm like, well, I can't do lunch at the regular time. I have to do it after the podcast. And he's like, well, then that's like dinner, getting on like 5 o'clock. And we were laughing because he has so much to do today. I have so much to do today. And he kind of was like, oh my gosh. And I kind of was like, I am so sorry. I got completely sucked into it. Meaning, oh my God, how can I possibly make something in 30 minutes? And then I stopped because this is the power of the course, you guys. I was in that thought system for a second and I remembered, oh my gosh, you know what? God's will for me is perfect happiness, which is just means that it's internal. I'm remembering that this is my dream. Mark and I, my mom, everybody here is in my mind, as am I, the body of Jackie. And I can use this like altercation where I felt guilt because I could not make something for lunch after he had gone, walked over to and got all the stuff for me. And I felt this tinge come up of guilt. But immediately my mind went to, oh my gosh, there's two ways of seeing this. One is going to keep me stuck in this guilt and fear, and who knows where that's going to lead because I have another podcast to do, or I can remember this is my dream. And you know what? That change of mind, I found my body walking into the bedroom and saying, I'm so sorry for this miscommunication. isn't it interesting how we both have such busy days today? And I know he gets so hungry at certain times, much more than I do because I snack small meals all the time. So my point is I want to share with people this going within, and we're asked to rethink our entire approach to our lives is why the end of this that Bruce and I are reading is, as a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. So by remembering, oh my gosh, this trigger, this argument is the red flag because it's produced enormous guilt for me, which is the ego's greatest number. It is the red flag to repurpose this. Oh, this is my classroom. I can go back to the mind, to different interpretations, that this is not our reality. And I know where Mark and I and my mom really are, but I'm still going to function normally here. But with that change of mind, I didn't further illusion and stay in that guilt. I was recalling my projection, again, joining in the Holy Spirit mind, which directed my function, which gave a much better experience here, so that when I walked into the room, Mark and I forgave each other. You were like, oh, it was a misunderstanding, and I was able to come back out. But as you were saying, Bruce, I mean, our preoccupation with form and with what we see externally, which we do as bodies, can completely shift. And our new preoccupation can be with the content in our mind, which is, you know what? This is just part of my curriculum. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do things in the world. It has nothing to do with that. It's what's my new starting point. So how to heal and handle chaos, which I titled this, is then when the bigger things hit, seemingly bigger, like everybody having to walk around with a mask and this global shutdown that's created havoc for certain people, businesses. I mean, while we don't deny that, we can at least change the context of it. We can change the purpose our mind has given it. And the bigger things become easier to look at. And then we'll still be prompted from our right mind. We'll reflect into our seeming action in the dream. And so how do we heal? Because this is so important to us. Projection makes perception. The world we see is what we gave it. So this, the world is not a fact. It's an interpretation, right? This is very, very powerful.
It really is, yeah. As you're sharing that anecdote, I was thinking, well, metaphorically, the way to get through this is to snack throughout the day on Holy Spirit's inspiration, I suppose you could say. Right?
I love it.
just kind of nibble on the feast that the Holy Spirit has in our mind, waiting for us all the time. And
but
you never need to diet on that. You never get too full, or you know, it's that's the inspiration that really satisfies us. You know, on the level of hope, yeah, it's perfect to do whatever we need to do, kind of thing. But if we do that, then you know we're not only dropping the sword that we're holding against our own throat, or maybe you know, to shift the metaphor, we're putting down our assault rifle, our sniper rifle with the laser guided trajectory, and we've taken the target dot off the others in our life, and in fact we've taken it off ourselves, because that's kind of the outer and inner shield of oblivion. That's the two steps of forgiveness, which is not too long ago, Tim Wise and Lynn Corona do wonderful classes. They're taking a little break right now from their School for A Course in Miracles curriculum for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But they shared a thought that I thought was really helpful. And that is the outer and inner shield of oblivion that the Course talks about is really can be summarized very nicely in the two workbook lessons that Ken Wapnick said. If you can only remember two, number 5 and number 34 are pretty good candidates. And the number 5 is I'm never upset for the reason I think.
And
that's where that we when we recognize that, it's like, oh, let's take that laser dot and you know, stop pointing at other people, you know, just, you know, kind of like basic hunter safety, you know, never point a gun at anyone. Well, the ego's pointing its weaponry at everyone all the time. But it shifts around, the focus shifts around moment to moment to moment from one annoyance to another to one slight annoyance, you know, irritation to another major holocaust or outrage. But, you know, it's constantly shifting. And so in the last few months, the thing that's come up in the sights of our ego minds, gun sights, has certainly had plenty of pandemic targets and probably a few political targets and a few targets in terms of, you know, racial and cultural issues. I mean, there's plenty of things in the world to keep our mind very, very busy. It doesn't mean we stop doing the things that we can in terms of activism or caring and showing ourselves in the world that we, you know, can contribute however we can to making the world a better place. But it just means that if we take the gun sight, you know, and point it at the ground for starters, but then the second step of forgiveness is I could see peace instead of this. And that's when we go past the outer shield of oblivion where we think it's, you know, something in the world that's doing it to us, but then we focus on the inward condition, which is really saying, okay, well, if that unconscious, unexamined guilt is not out there on someone else or something else, you know, it could be the weather, it could be the stock market, it doesn't have to be a specific person, but then it goes inward, and then the inward attack becomes inward, and then we got that laser dot pointed at ourselves, the seemingly separate self, and right. I could see peace instead of this. We need Holy Spirit's help to work with that also, just as we did with the first workbook lesson, I'm not upset for the reason I think. And we do that by realizing with Holy Spirit's help, we can see that our eternal being has never been upset. The little silly, seemingly separate self that we identify with most of the time, yeah, it gets upset by every little, the slightest sling and arrow of outrageous fortune, the slightest little misfortune or issue or upset. But then we realize that the setup wasn't real either. And when Toto pulls back that curtain, it's like, oh, there's no need to point the laser at anything. We can, the light comes on, the house lights come on, the theater's illuminated,
we can see
this, like, there's nothing to get hung about, as the Beatles said. And then the forgiveness is just automatic because we realize everyone is innocent in truth and reality. And that's again, not something we're going to see by ourselves. We need Holy Spirit's help to see that eternal beauty, that eternal calm, that eternal profoundly wonderful essence that we all are, have, and share. And to see that there's really no cause for attack, no cause for alarm. Sure, we need to do things in the world that make sense, but we don't have to do them by compromising our peace. And case that's helpful. Yeah.
Well said. Oh my gosh, that's so well said. And you know what? We're once again in sync because when you were talking about this, the setup isn't real in the first place. I wanted to read, and you brought Ken, who we love, Ken Wapnick, and I wanted to read something for our listeners from The Unhealed Healer, okay? And it's about going within. It's about how are we applying this course? And I think as Ken does in everything he says, encapsulates this brilliantly, so I want to share it here. It pertains to what we were talking about and what I was kind of going over at the very beginning of the podcast. So Ken says, the meaning of applying this course to our everyday life, the purpose of developing a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or any other symbol of a non-ego presence in our minds, is to have us return to the mind so we can re-examine the original belief that the separation was an actual event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It also says in the
I was just going to say, if the original belief is not challenged and undone, we become unhealed healers, and nothing we do will help. Isn't that, it just encapsulates, this is what the Course is trying to do. And then I know you're going to comment on, Bruce, I just wanted to offer, share one comment on that. This is what the Course means. This is a course in cause and not effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's asking us to return to the mind, and Jesus helps us re-examine the belief in separation. So the world is not even the problem. It's just a projection of the mind. The belief that the separation was an actual event that then projected a world of time and space is the problem. So it just goes right to the heart of this, and so I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Yeah, that's so important, Jackie. I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, really one of the key ideas in A Course in Miracles, and really essentially it's the, you could think of it as really the goal or the graduation, you know, the criteria for graduation from graduating this course is really to have implicit and unshakable trust in that inner kindness teacher, that Holy Spirit, the Jesus of A Course in Miracles, whatever label you put on it doesn't matter. But it's the awareness we took with us into the dream that says nothing happened. The separation not only didn't occur, but it is impossible. And anything that seems to be a threat is unreal. It's just not worth getting hung about. I quickly searched for a phrase that I think ties into this beautifully. If you wouldn't mind, I'll read a short paragraph from the section 29 of the Manual for Teachers.
This
I think really fits in nicely, and I think this really fits in beautifully with what we all use as an accelerated opportunity with the current world events to really deepen our trust in the Holy Spirit. And anyway, the third paragraph of section 29 of the Manual for Teachers in A Course in Miracles says, there's another advantage and a very important one in referring decisions to the Holy Spirit with increasing frequency. Perhaps you have not thought of this aspect, but its centrality is obvious. To follow the Holy Spirit's guidance is to let yourself be absolved of guilt. It is the essence of the atonement. It is the core of the curriculum. The imagined usurping of functions not your own is the basis of fear. There's the old authority problem, right? The whole world you see reflects the illusion that you have done so. There's our projections, making fear inevitable. To return the function to one whom it belongs, and it's capital O for one and capital W for whom, really that awareness that we all share, we took with us into the dream, to return the function to the one to whom it belongs is thus the escape from fear. And it is this that lets the memory of love return to you. Do not then think that following the Holy Spirit's guidance is necessarily merely because of your own inadequacies. Hint, hint, we're all pretty inadequate here.
Right.
It is the way out of hell for you. And I thought, wow, that just, it really nails it, doesn't it? Because the hell
Excellent.
That we made that seems
Excellent.
To be, you know, morphing into all these different things. And this year is certainly a prime example of how one hell can turn into another equally or perhaps even ever more so hellacious experience given to the ego to misinterpret, but given to the Holy Spirit, it's our literally our get out of hell free card, isn't it?
Yes, wonderful that you got that from the Manual for Teachers, section 29. Excellent. And it is, it's really, you know, and as you were sharing that, I was thinking, I can hear almost people in my mind, you know, the questions of, but it just, it seems so real. And you know what? It does.
Yeah.
This is the experience that we're having, that we're here. We're never asked to deny that. We're merely asked to just look. Be
right.
Just willing when we want something to be different than it is. whenever we're triggered, whenever there's something that we want to change, whenever we are just feeling, quite frankly, people are either feeling, you know, anger, rage, disgust, depression, anxiety, anything. We're just asked to see, you know what? There could be another way to see this. And the more and more we do that, those moments, those choices get strewn together. And it becomes more of your experience that you're able to function in the world. But as Jesus says, you know, you can be in the world but not of it. Mm-hmm. Your awareness is not in it. You're able to function with the light of your right mind. Reflecting the light of your right mind, that's guiding not only your thought, but then, you know, as a result, what you seem to be doing here as a body, you'll have a better experience. So I just always want to encourage people that that's one of the benefits of practicing is it your awareness starts to change. The huge investment in identification with the body gives way to more spiritual sight, spiritual vision, and identification with the oneness of it all. That automatically changes. It's not something that you have to strive so hard to do, because as you undo these thoughts of separation, as you heal this guilt, you'll be absolved of guilt, the passage said. You absolve guilt, it just reveals who you naturally are, and you don't have to try to be that. It's only a recognition and a remembering. It's very powerful.
Really is. It really is. Should we finish that first paragraph in chapter 21?
Yes, go ahead and read that.
Oh, okay. I'm going to back up just a sentence or two. Which says, it is the witness to your state of mind, which is basically the, you know, continuation of the projection makes perception, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause. And that is why order of difficulty and miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. And where there is no meaning, there is chaos. And recently, also in one of Tim and Lynn's classes, Tim Wise and Lynn Corona's classes, Tim shared an idea that I thought was pretty interesting. If you go through the laws of chaos in chapter 23, pardon me, I'll frog my throat, you can actually take those five laws and I won't go through that right now because we don't have that much time. But for anybody who's interested, you can look up the laws of chaos, and the five laws actually fit very nicely with the first three with sin, guilt, and fear, and the fourth and fifth ones with special love and special hate. So there are four, you know, five different kind of pillars, if you will, of the ego's thought system, and that's the whole chaos of thinking that, you know, we're basically creatures of sin, guilt, and fear that in ego's perception because we think we pulled off this impossible, horrible crime of shattering perfect oneness or throwing God off the Humpty Dumpty wall or whatever metaphor you like.
Right.
But we think we pulled it off. So the enormity of the unconscious guilt and sin and fear of that thought system is unimaginable. But we don't have to tackle that all at once. We just have to look at it a little bit at a time. And so therefore, we just have to look at all the things that ego's little laser pointer is fixated on moment to moment, whether it's a missed lunch or it's an issue of somebody that you see on TV that's saying something you don't like, or another family member or a coworker or a person on the freeway that cuts you off. You know, the whole gamut of stuff, all the things on the wheel of misfortune is as Jeff Siebert's wonderful little diagram for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, he had this years ago, all the different aspects of things that come up, you know, all the different categories of issues in the world. None of those really has any power over us unless we emphasize and make a big deal out of the special love, special hate dichotomy that's behind every fixation. And if we just kind of look at each thing as a forgiveness opportunity, and kind of flip over the coin. While it's one moment is special love, the next moment turns to special hate when a person betrays us in our mind, of course. Or you know, it could be the weather's like it's nice one day, and the next day, oh man, this is not what I wanted. It could be anything,
right,
or anyone. But we just notice all those things then are reflections of a setup to keep us constantly upset. And even if it's temporarily a sort of a euphoric thing, it's always kind of there's always an undercurrent of at the expense of something else or someone else. And that's where the unconscious guilt comes into the special love relationships as well, because it's always something fleeting. You know, there's always an impermanence to it. But the real peace is a permanence that transcends anything in this world, isn't it?
Yes. I was just talking with my guest earlier today on the podcast we taped, the peace that passeth all understanding. It's that it can't be understood. It's just knowing. And the Course is just geared towards us, you know, having this inner peace where, you know, you really can't put anything into words. As the Course says, you know, words are but symbols twice removed from reality. But with practice of the Course, it is just this awareness of knowing, oh my gosh, everything is okay. And if I stick to my curriculum of forgiveness, it's the only thing I really need to do here, which meaning that is how I change my mind and I follow the forgiveness classroom, that just automatically directs my functioning. And then whatever people decide to do, it will be a reflection from first healing the mind, choosing healing, looking on everything with that perspective. It's very different. It will produce a completely different experience than leading with the ego and its laser pointer fixated on grievances.
Yep, sure enough. Huh?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, you said as you were reading there, everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy, because Christ's vision sees everything as the same, meaning it looks past the body to the content of fear that's behind that projection. And if we want to heal the world, we have to heal our mind about what we think the world is. And
right.
So it always goes back to going within. How do we do that? We have to look at what's outside with different eyes. We have to look at what's outside with a different interpretation. So we use the body's eyes and any upset to go back to the mind. So we become more focused on inward instead of outward, you know? It's so powerful. Bruce, there's only 2 minutes left. I can't believe it. It goes so fast. Next time we talk, we'll have to go to the next section. We both love The Forgotten Song, which is right after what we read. It's great. We'll just spend... give it its due time, you know.
That sounds great. Yeah, I just have one line, or one phrase actually, from the next paragraph after these two paragraphs that I really like is, your cues for inference are wrong, which is basically, you know, Holy Spirit is telling us that, you know, we're basically clueless here. So we need to be really gentle, patient, and forgiving with ourselves and everyone in order to make consistent progress with this course. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well said. That's an awesome way to end it. And as usual, Bruce and I could go on forever, you guys. There's always so much to discuss. I appreciate you joining me again, Bruce. And we love all of you out there. We so much enjoy sharing this message. And just want to tell everyone, you are loved, be well, and blessings. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Jackie. Have a great one.